From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Who is Russia firing at in Syria? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It's Thursday, October 1st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Russia surprised the U.S. by launching airstrikes in Syria, but the targets don't appear to be ISIS terrorists at this point. Instead, at least one hit an area primarily held by rebels backed by the CIA.
Weather experts are watching Hurricane Joaquin as it churns near the Bahamas. It's not clear where exactly it might make landfall on the East Coast.
More questions about how Hillary Clinton managed official documents. Federal officials have been unable to find 2 months of emails from her time as Secretary of State.
And the push by some Democrats to add presidential primary debates.
Bear in mind there's a political subtext here, and that's the frontrunner is Hillary Clinton. And frontrunners generally don't want more debates. They want as few debates as possible because they want to avoid the kind of gaps and mistakes that can create problems for their campaign.
Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas says some Democrats feel the 6 scheduled debates are not enough given the attention Republicans have been receiving. That story in about 25 minutes. Hurricane Joaquin continues to strengthen in the Atlantic and is expected to become a major hurricane, although not all forecast models are saying it will make landfall in the U.S. The warnings came as the northeastern United States faced a pounding rainstorm yesterday that flooded some streets and snarled travel from Washington to Boston. Joaquin is the third hurricane of the 2015 Atlantic season. Rob Marciano, senior meteorologist at ABC News, says by last night, it had intensified into a Category 3 with maximum sustained winds now of 120 miles an hour.
Landfall anywhere in the Carolinas late Saturday or as far north as Long Island into Monday. Big margin of error with any storm that parallels the coast like this. Still uncertainty there, but right now we're pretty confident it's going to make a U.S. strike.
With Superstorm Sandy still top of mind from 3 years ago, folks in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut have been warned to begin preparations for a possible severe storm. The central Bahamas and northwestern Bahamas, by the way, were under a hurricane warning today. CNN says this morning the good news is if current projections hold, Joaquin won't be another Sandy. But it says the not-so-good news, hurricane projections are notoriously unpredictable. Wait, watch out if the Secret Service doesn't like you. The agency admits it violated federal privacy law by improperly accessing sensitive personal information about Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Chaffetz, a Republican, has aggressively pursued allegations of Secret Service misconduct as chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. The agency dug up Mr. Chaffetz's unsuccessful application to join the Secret Service in 2003, something he called a tactic designed to intimidate and embarrass me. The details came out in a report by an inspector general. It found out that more than 40 Secret Service employees accessed Mr. Chaffetz's 2003 job application a total of more than 60 times. Almost on cue, the first one came just 18 minutes after Mr. Chaffetz opened a committee hearing into Secret Service misconduct back in March. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The report, by the way, says at least one employee acknowledged to investigators that he disclosed the protected information to the Washington Post. And in a further violation of the Privacy Act, some of the employees disseminated Mr. Chaffetz's data through the Secret Service email system. The agency, by the way, has apologized. 10 minutes now after the hour. Well, the Obama administration has been caught flat-footed again. Russia launched airstrikes in Syria yesterday, catching U.S. and Western officials off guard. But perhaps most unsettling was evidence suggesting Moscow wasn't targeting Islamic State terrorists, but rather opponents of Bashar al-Assad's regime. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says some of those rebel forces are backed by the U.S. and Western allies.
It does appear that they were in areas where there probably were not ISIL forces, and that is precisely one of the problems with this whole approach.
Analysis now from Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, senior fellow at the London Institute for Policy Research. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Tony, how do you see this broadly?
Let's look at the ISIS numbers. We've probably killed about 10,000 of their fighters over the past year in the air campaign. They've been able to grow, despite that, by a factor of about sixfold. So with that comes the possibility of radicalization of Soviet or Russian citizens going back. And I think we're facing a similar thing, but not as high. Plus, they have Chechnya. They have other areas where they have been fighting radical Muslims for a while. This clearly could be a vector for those folks to get trained, get experience, come back, and obviously cause direct threats against Russia.
How about the role of oil in all this and kind of control of the region's oil?
There are large swaths of land in Syria, largely controlled by the Kurds, of what I've been told are unexplored but very potentially rich oil fields. And I've talked to my Kurdish friends and experts in the region, and very clearly there's something there in Syria, the areas where the Kurds now control. Obviously, to get to the oil, you're going to have to create conditions for stability. You're going to have to create some level of good governance. I don't think Assad is good governance. But I think the biggest issue right now is the first evil, which is ISIS, and bringing stability to the region. So as much as I think we can all agree that Assad's not a good guy, I think eventually he'll go. Right now, the biggest issue is ISIS and trying to recover this territory gained by ISIS before you can think about doing anything.
Do you think the U.S. would be willing to leave Assad in place in exchange for, say, a guaranteed victory against ISIS, or is that not even realistic?
No, I don't think so. I think our foreign policy is still being led by John Kerry and the high school debating team. So even if a deal was brokered, I don't think the Russians would take our side seriously at this point. I think it's all about, at this point, playing it out until some leader on our side comes to the table to say, you know, I'm going to deal with Putin directly, a Reagan-type guy who dealt with Gorbachev at the level Gorbachev understood. And we don't have anybody who's willing to do that. And I'm going to say this directly. I think watching President Obama interact with Vladimir Putin is like watching SpongeBob interact with Darth Vader.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Director of External Communications, also Senior Fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. We're talking about Russia's newly launched airstrikes in Syria. So what about the potential here for some sort of confrontation between the U.S. and Russia militarily in Syria?
I think that's very possible here because clearly both sides, the United States and Russia, have interest in the region. We both have military forces now in the region, both engaged in combat. So inevitably, when you put forces together that close, something may happen. So we, at this point, just don't know what the effects are going to be of two opposing forces, which are kind of semi-fighting the same enemy, coming close to each other. We've not really faced this since World War II, so it'll be very interesting.
All right. And what about this whole thought, Colonel, of the U.S. taking this back seat and kind of the verbal approach being, let them fight it out?
I think there's some merit to that. I mean, again, I've said, you know, Vladimir Putin rolling in with the Russians is not necessarily a bad thing to stabilize Assad and go after the terrorists and kind of regain space. But, you know, they learned a very hard lesson in Afghanistan. Let's remember that they spent 10 years slogging it out with the Taliban, and they lost in the end. So there's something to be said for them, you know, using their military forces to do this. I'm not entirely opposed. What I'm concerned about, obviously, is what happens after we get done. What will become of our influence and our ability to deal with our allies? At this point in time, because we have not really set a table for working with them, that means they own the table. That's my problem with this. I'm not necessarily against the idea. I'm saying we have not done the homework necessary to prepare our side for how to make the leverage this to our advantage.
Do you think we look weak here?
We do absolutely look weak. Again, if we had done this in such a way to show that we're working with the Russians, instead the Russians bullied their way in, it makes us look very weak. It makes us look like the junior varsity.
Thanks, Tony. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer at the London Institute for Policy Research. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258. 888-727-4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. More misery for Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton regarding her email practices. Word's out that about 2 months of emails from the start of Mrs. Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State are missing, and federal officials have not been able to find them. An archive of records that Mrs. Clinton turned over to the State Department doesn't begin until March 18, 2009, though she took office in late January of that year. The missing emails raise more questions about how she handled official documents. The missing records will provide fresh fodder for Mrs. Clinton's political opponents and members of Congress investigating her email practices. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Joaquin is barreling toward the Bahamas as a powerful Category 3 storm with sustained winds of 120 miles an hour. The eye of the storm is expected to move near or over the central Bahamas later today on a course that could take it up the East Coast. Annette O'Donnell, who lives in North Carolina's Outer Banks, is preparing.
We have our hurricane shutters. We have them all. They're always ready. And we just kind of wait and see if what happens when it gets closer.
The hurricane reached Category 3 status late yesterday, making it a major hurricane, and its winds have only picked up strength since then. The Kremlin says Russian airstrikes in Syria were targeting a list of well-known terrorist organizations and were chosen in coordination with the armed forces of Syria. But U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says it appears that U.S.-based rebels were hit by the Russian strikes.
It does appear that they were in areas where there probably were not ISIL forces, and that is precisely one of the problems with this whole approach.
Russian officials also brushed off U.S. criticism that its military failed to coordinate the airstrikes, describing the allegations as a war of disinformation. Bernie Sanders is offering Hillary Clinton an unexpected challenge in the race for primary campaign money this quarter, as he collected nearly as much money from small donations as the Democratic frontrunner has from big-dollar donors. The Vermont senator's campaign says he raised about $26 million for his presidential campaign in the past 3 months. Clinton's campaign has taken in $28 million. And what would the week be without some Taylor Swift news, especially her portrait made of gum? An artist named Rob Surrett has taken first place in a Ripley's Believe It or Not contest by creating a portrait of the pop star using 17,625 gumballs. Surrett, who won $2,000 for his artwork, says he spent an hour each day this summer crafting his masterpiece.
1 hour each day?
Mm-hmm.
And he got $2,000?
Yep.
Not sure that's quite the return on human capital that he invested there.
It is pretty...
Is it impressive?
It is. It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
You have to check it out online.
Good for him. That's great. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Vonage. Say hello to the business of better from Vonage, featuring solutions like seamless mobility that lets you take your office calls from wherever you are. Vonage, the business of better. Sitting at your desk all day, typing away on your keyboard is doing bad things to your posture. MarketWatch reporter Amy Hoke has a look at the dangers of office bod and how to avoid looking like somebody who's been sitting at their desk all day. Amy, what is it?
Basically, office bod is kind of like the body that you develop when you're sitting at a desk all day, pretty much, during the week. And, you know, it's going to cause you to put, like, extra weight around your midsection. It's going to screw up your posture, give a little more cushion on your behind. So it kind of goes along with some of the other studies that have really pointed to sitting as being close to, like, the next smoking. That's kind of wild what they're saying, sitting is the next smoking.
Wow.
Basically, because all that inactivity, it can lead to a lot of diseases and issues, conditions. But this story looks specifically at your physique as well.
All right. So which includes what? Is it like the slumping shoulders, I guess? Or what else is part of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. You know, your shoulders hunch forward. So the trainer I spoke with, he said, you know, it moves your spine out of alignment, and it kind of makes you appear shorter and rounder, even if you don't have a belly. You just kind of, it just gets you all out of whack. So the best defense, really, against, you know, these changes to your body is just to sit less. You got to get up and move. You know, every 20 minutes, you need to move around. You need to roll your shoulders. There's also some other strength exercises, like, you know, the Superman pose, you know, where you lay on the ground and you lift your arms and your legs. That can kind of help reverse some of that. And some other exercises just to kind of counteract what you're doing to yourself all day when you're sitting at the computer.
Mm. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Amy Hoke. She's got a piece called How to Prevent, quote, office bod, that slumping posture that's just no good for you. When you say lay on the ground, do you mean in that same spot where that other employee spilled coffee, like lie down in that stain?
Well, I guess that is up to you. If you want to do it at the end of your day, if you want to do it in the middle of your day, probably in the middle of your day is better.
Yeah.
There was some reports that have shown that you know, even people who exercise every day, they hit the gym after work, if they're sitting for 9 hours and or 8 hours, whatever, and at the end of the day they exercise, it does do something, but it doesn't even completely counteract the effects of sitting all day long.
Wow.
Really getting up and moving throughout the day and doing those exercises throughout the day, that's really where you're going to see the most benefit.
We're sitting, I'm guessing, more than ever at work, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that employees are asked to do more. I think that, you know, people eat at their desk. They, you know, they get early and they leave late. And so I think, and then you come home, you probably commute on maybe a train or a bus, and you come home, you watch TV, and you're sitting for a good part of your day.
Mm.
So I think what employers are doing, too, we also looked at this in the piece, employers are really encouraging their workers to move more, and some are looking at providing their employees with devices like the Fitbit, where they're tracking their steps and tracking their activity to make them more aware of what they're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And then others are looking at the way they organize their space. Instead of just, you know, having someone sit at a cubicle all day, they're creating different stations, maybe a place where you can, you know, it's a kind of a fun place to get a cup of coffee with a colleague, or places, you know, where you can take a standing meeting as opposed
yep.
to a sitting meeting. You know, they're looking into treadmill desks, which are becoming more popular, sit-stand desks, where you mm-hmm. can raise your workstation up and you don't have to be sitting all day. You know, these little measures can really add up for people and keep them healthier.
Thanks, Amy. Market Watch reporter Amy Hoke. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in deal. That's stamps.com. Enter deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, first day of October. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Russian airstrikes accused of hitting Syrian areas with rebels backed by the U.S. A 2-month gap found in Hillary's emails. The Secret Service tries to embarrass a congressman investigating the agency. Hurricane Joaquin churns in the Atlantic. An assistant principal at a South Dakota high school subdued a student gunman who allegedly shot his principal in the arm. $300 million Powerball ticket sold in Michigan. and the World War II vet looking out for young Marines. Hear what he's up to. That story in about 20 minutes. The Republican presidential candidates have been a big hit among TV viewers during their two nationally televised debates so far. They have at least seven more to go, and now Democrats fear they might be losing out. Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas says an intra-party rebellion is breaking out over Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz's refusal to sanction more than six presidential debates. What jumps out is that to enforce the limit, she's imposed a penalty for candidates who take part in debates not sponsored by the DNC. Any candidate who does that will be barred from future sanctioned events. Peter, holy cow, sounds like a dictatorship. Talk about a tight leash. What's this about?
This is the so-called exclusivity clause, and this is new. The Democrats didn't have this in 2008, and it's designed to discourage candidates from going around the party. So it's something the candidates find very restrictive. But bear in mind there's a political subtext here, and that's the frontrunner is Hillary Clinton. And frontrunners generally don't want more debates. They want as few debates as possible because they want to avoid the kind of gaps and mistakes that can create problems for their campaign. So there's also some concern that what Wasserman Schultz has done here is accommodate Hillary Clinton. She was a co-chair of Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign, and there are some Democrats who are saying there's some bias at work here.
Now, what has Mrs. Clinton said with regards to more debates?
What she is saying now is, look, if there are more debates scheduled, she'll show up. If the DNC wants to do this and wants to add some debates to the schedule, she'll go along. But she's not clamoring, actively demanding or asking for more debates the way, say, Martin O'Malley is. She's taking a more sort of passive position. You know, if you ask me to come and you schedule them, I'll be there. Privately, I've talked a little bit with her staff, and they think in the end, Wasserman Schultz will relent and schedule more debates. So they're trying to get ahead of this train.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas. His piece is called Some Democrats Push DNC Chairwoman to Allow More Debates. Right now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is saying six and six only. Now, the underdogs, you mentioned like O'Malley, perhaps Bernie Sanders in that camp also, always want more debates, right? I mean, this kind of gives them free exposure without having to, you know, buy a TV ad, for example.
Bear in mind, Hillary Clinton has universal name recognition. I mean, there's nobody in America who doesn't know who Hillary Clinton is, but there are plenty of people who don't know who Martin O'Malley is. You know, when Martin O'Malley goes to rallies, or not rallies, but events, backyard events in Iowa and New Hampshire, he literally has to introduce himself, you know, to people. They just don't know him. So a national stage where he is on the same stage as Hillary Clinton is very helpful to him. So for him, six debates is just too few. And bear in mind, an interesting thing about these debates is only four of them come before the voting begins in Iowa in February.
Right. Sorry. So and to be fair, there are always, I guess, potential perils for the front runner if there's a lot of debates, right? The potential foot and mouth disease that could come with it.
Yeah, so we saw in 2012, Mitt Romney memorably talked about self-deportation as the way to sort of resolve the illegal immigration problem. Many people believe this was one consequence of that was his poor showing with the Latino vote. He got less than 30% of Latino voters in 2012, and Obama just swept up that constituency.
So we've got this meeting coming up where Debbie Wasserman Schultz will be pressured to add more debates. There are some who think there will be. Are there odds being placed on, say, I don't know, going to a seventh or eighth debate?
I think the odds are very good that there'll be more debates added. I mean, when you have people like Tom Steyer, who is a California billionaire, who a loyal Democratic donor, calling for more debates, when you have the vice chair people of the DNC calling for more debates, candidates calling for more debates, Democratic activists calling for more debates, it's just hard for Debbie Wasserman Schultz to dig in and ignore all that. So I think the odds are that she'll relent, and if she doesn't relent, there's going to be this DNC meeting in December, and somebody may well put forward a motion calling for new debates on the schedule, and it might be hard for her to beat that back. But that, there's going to be some drama at that meeting if she doesn't change up the schedule before then.
Thanks, Peter. Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. Don't forget to look us up on social media, by the way. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can swap tweets directly with me with the handle @ Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, word of warning that that robot voice you hear when you call customer service might actually be a human. A New York City Health Department worker suspended last year for using a robotic voice on phone calls is again facing discipline for the same action. UPI says that Ronald Dillon, who made headlines in November of last year when he was suspended for 20 days without pay for using an unprofessional robotic voice on the phone, is now facing a potential 30-day suspension after supervisors said they caught him again using the voice on IT help desk calls. Dillon's suspension must still be approved by the health department before it goes into effect. The worker said last year the voice branded robotic by bosses was merely his attempt at using a neutral voice after complaints about his tone of voice while on the phone.
He's a smart aleck. That's what this sounds like.
Right, that's what it sounds like. Yes. Yeah, and also, also a way probably just to get away with not answering questions. You know, you could just get away with a lot when you pretend to be a robot, right? As opposed to being a human. Get away with, you know, someone gets mad at you on the other side, it's a lot easier to just be a robot and kind of shrug them off.
Right, or you could do what Siri does sometimes and just say, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Right.
And that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's a little hint for Ron, too.
Yeah.
Like most of those times in those call centers, calls are recorded for quality monitoring purposes.
That's true.
Yeah, that includes you.
Yeah.
My man, that includes you.
So somebody's going to find out. Yeah, there was a, if you go further down into the story, it seems like he was not too enamored with this job, as you can probably tell, to risk suspension once again. So if he does get fired, he's probably not going to be too upset about it. And Gordon, I'm surprised we don't hear more about these kind of stories. A married St. Louis couple is sharing their unlikely love story about 3 years after the mistaken text message that forged their relationship. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Casey Berg accidentally sent a text to Henry Glendenning, who was a stranger in June of 2012. The pair continued communicating after realizing they had a lot in common, sharing recommendations on books, movies, and music, before meeting in person for the first time a week later. Upon their second meeting 2 days later, they each arrived at a coffee shop at different times and realized they'd ordered the same drink, further cementing their connection, or at least in their mind anyway.
No, they made that part up. That is made up. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that maybe they only had two drinks in that coffee shop. Who knows? Exactly 2 years after the errant text message, Glendenning proposed to Berg at the rooftop restaurant where they ended their first meeting with her favorite song, Thank You by Led Zeppelin, playing in the background.
Really?
That's a great little story.
All right.
Now, that doesn't happen when any of us send a text message to the wrong person, right? Yeah, we get something like, you know, who the heck is this?
Yes, yes.
In much stronger language than that.
They could be setting up a new trend, though. Let's just randomly send text messages. Let's just punch in random numbers on our phone in the text message function and see what happens.
Who needs,
if you're single, right? If you're single, just track it.
Match.com or, you know, Tinder or any of those. This sounds like a better way to do it.
Sit at home Saturday night and just fire off text messages to any phone number and see what comes back.
I'm sure that will end perfectly well for you.
Right. Nothing possibly could go wrong. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday morning. It's 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. and Russian military will hold talks as soon as possible to avoid clashing in Syria. Russian defense officials say their aircraft carried out about 20 missions against ISIS yesterday, but the U.S. expressed fears the targets were non-ISIS opponents of Russia's ally, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Congress has voted to fund the government through December 11th, averting a shutdown that would have kicked in at midnight. Lawmakers now have 10 weeks to negotiate a longer-term budget solution to prevent another potential shutdown crisis. The Secret Service has apologized to Representative Jason Chaffetz, a prominent critic of the agency, for violating federal privacy law by improperly accessing sensitive personal information about him dozens of times in little more than a single week. The Utah Republican called the unauthorized retrieval of his unsuccessful application to join the Secret Service in 2003 a tactic designed to intimidate and embarrass me.
Do they have a deep-seated cultural problem in the Secret Service? I worry that if they're doing this to me, they're doing it to who knows how many other people.
The improper handling of Chaffetz's personal information was confirmed yesterday in a 29-page report by the Department of Homeland Security, which includes the Secret Service. About 2 months of emails from the start of Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State are missing, and federal officials haven't been able to recover them. Today's Wall Street Journal says an archive of records that Clinton turned over to the State Department doesn't begin until March 18, 2009, though she took office as Secretary of State in late January of that year. Five University of Alabama students have been arrested as part of an investigation into hazing allegations involving Phi Gamma Delta fraternity. The five were taken into custody following an investigation by the university's police department and Office of Student Conduct. An investigation is continuing. And going on sale today, Charlie Brown Christmas stamps. The Postal Service is getting a jump on the card sending season by issuing a series of stamps celebrating the 50th anniversary of A Charlie Brown Christmas, which first aired on December 9th, 1965.
Is that right?
Can you believe that's 50 years old?
50 years old.
And still one of the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. That skimpy little tree.
But it's so great. And when they sing at the end, their mouths are all...
Yes. That's right. There's no attempt to try to match the mouth movements of the words whatsoever.
It's great.
That's what's so charming. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Now you got that image in my head. Thanks for being with us. One of the world's oldest Marines is still faithfully looking out for his fellow devil dogs. The Marine Corps Times says Roy Drinkard, a 95-year-old World War II vet, paid to install bulletproof glass at the military recruiting center in Cullman, Alabama, following the July attack on a recruiting station in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that targeted military personnel. Mr. Drinkard, president and CEO of Drinkard Development, Inc., and owner of the building, said he made the decision to install the bulletproof glass the day of the shootings to help protect the troops who worked there. The install costs $33,000. It includes 3-inch thick polycarbonate glass, which can withstand the impact of 7.62 millimeter rounds. Mr. Drinkard, a private first class in the Marines from June of 43 to October of 45, said he hopes other American landlords will follow suit. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.